Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
It's our day of hope at Share-a-thon, and we're so glad to have you tuned in this morning. And we're also glad to have a longtime friend of the ministry on the phone with us right now. Ron Hutchcraft has been on with us a number of times over the years. And Ron, we're so glad that you could join us this morning.
Oh, listen, I'm glad to be with you guys anytime. When you said longtime friend, you got that friend. I love what you guys do.
Well, we feel the same way. And in fact, we had some of your team up here a few years ago to talk about the On Eagle's Wings ministry. And I think everybody in our audience was really excited to hear about that. And so we thought it'd be a good idea to get an update from you. What's going on with On Eagle's Wings these days?
You know, looking back at that time when you had some of our team there, I think I would have tried to be there myself, except I decided it was more fun to have surgery. I decided that. And I had to have four shoulder surgeries, Roger. Wow. I only have shoulders, but that's beside the point. And so I had just had surgery, and I was sitting in my office listening to the whole thing, and I think I was on every hour or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was forced to be on the sidelines, but it was a fantastic time. You know, your listeners were so incredibly generous, and you were so incredibly generous to give us some of your time of your share in order to help some young people go to Warrior Leadership Summit, our national conference. I think a lot of, I think there are, like, if I remember right, 9 reservations in Montana alone. So you have several indigenous nations represented in your state. And then I know you go beyond Montana into other areas as well. So, and I think there's an awareness that Native American young people have such incredible battles in their life. I have worked with kids in Harlem, and I've worked with South Side of Chicago, and I've worked in some of the most difficult neighborhoods in America. But only when I started to go to the reservation did I meet for the first time young people with no dreams. Kids have dreams, but because they felt like they had no future, and that was, you could see why, because of the poverty and the brokenness and the fact that there's a suicide rate that exceeds by far any other young people in America. A Native American young people deciding that there's really no reason to stay around and nothing to stay around for, and that anything to make the pain stop. And it's heartbreaking. For me, those are names. Those are faces. Those are funerals that we have been to. The fact that missing and murdered women in America, the rate of that among Native American women is 10 times that of any other women in this country. I could go on and on. Again, these are names. These are real people. These are people's daughters and moms and sisters. And it's heartbreaking. Serial grieving that goes on the reservation. So hope is hard to find. And that's where what is so exciting is that God is on the move in the midst of this and has heard the cries of the first people of our land. And I believe that this is their time in many ways spiritually. And one that they have believed is the white man's God because of a lot of things that have happened historically. In fact, Jesus, the brown-skinned Mediterranean Jew, who was from a tribe called Judah, identified by the tribe he was from, and lived on land that had been occupied by others, and lived impoverished much of the time, and homeless, and came from a place that people said nothing good can come from there, and suffered terrible injustice, and died a violent death. Wow! That's the experience of so many Native young people. And to have young men and women who have been empowered by people like your listeners to be able to go to a conference where they can walk into a room and have young people from something like 60 or 70 different tribes in that room, all there under the banner of Jesus, is mind-blowing. And the thing we hear all the time is, I'm not alone. I always thought I was. I'm not alone. And that experience in itself is a high impact. And most of our team members that go out with our On Eagles Wings team during the summer to reservations, and I was with them on a number of reservations in the Southwest this summer, and they lead hundreds of Native young people to Christ. Well, many of them, where their relationship with Christ began, is at Warrior Leadership Summit. And I'm guessing, though I don't have specific names right now, that some of the young men and women whose trip to Warrior Leadership Summit was made possible several years ago by your listeners, either came to Christ or were discipled in Christ or called into his service by being at that conference, have been the very young people that have gone to reservations now and multiplied the investment of people who got them to the conference, because that's the beating heart of this whole movement. And that many of them have helped, without even knowing it, Native young people come to Christ across this country. So it's an exciting time. It's heartbreaking on the one hand, and yet it is so hopeful on the other. And now, as you know, the culmination of 30 years of battling for Native American young people has culminated in what I'm seeing outside my office window right now, which is our miracle in the Ozarks called the On Eagles Wings Leadership Center, just completed weeks ago, and a place that is a launch pad for the training of young Native leaders to go and be the difference makers and the models of hope for their generation, for their people back home. Oh my goodness, I'm jumping out of my chair telling you about it.
Oh yeah. Well, the task of just putting the building together, that's just the financial part and all that is huge. But then everything that is going to be done with it once it was opened, that had to be a huge undertaking. So what was the purpose of this, that you go beyond the visits to the reservations around the country and beyond putting on the Warrior Leadership Summit? What was the driving force behind establishing the Leadership Center?
Roger, when a young person who is indigenous comes to Christ, they are facing, and you're talking to a guy now who has been involved in frontline cross-cultural discipling of young people across this country for a long time. But when a Native young person comes to Christ, they are facing the greatest spiritual challenges and emotional challenges and broken places in their heart and in their life of any young people I know about anywhere in this country and even in many parts of the world. And when they've gone with our On Eagles Wings team, I want you to picture, they come to this conference that is unlike any other, and in a Native-centered environment, they meet a real Jesus, and they really meet him. Now, some of them are called by God to be on the On Eagles Wings team, and they go for 4 or 5 weeks to maybe 6 to 10 reservations. And they see God using them to break through where no missionary has been able to, and no Native adult Christians have been able to. And they're like, "Wow, we're reaching people that nobody's able to reach. Us guys, people like us." And during that month, I have seen the most dramatic development spiritually, discipling results I've ever seen with young people in decades of cross-cultural youth ministry. And it's like time-lapse photography when the rose opens up. And at the end, for years now, we have said at the end of that month, if only we could have them longer. We could finish what God has started and preparing them for a lifetime of living for Christ, healing some of those broken places, and equipping them to be spiritual leaders for the rest of their life. For they are what hope for Native America looks like. I'm not. You're not. They are. And you know, people say to me, Ron, what can we do to make a difference? This is awful. I didn't even know this existed, this challenge, this, all this hurt. And the answer to that, what can we do, is to make a difference for the people who can make the difference for their people. Yeah. And that would be young, Native, potential leaders. And so we're like, if we could only have them longer. And Roger, what does that mean? You got to have a place, right? Mm-hmm. Well, God has given us here 75 acres, actually, miraculously over a period of years. And we're like, if only we could have the place for them to come and spend an intensive gap year of discipleship, leadership equipping, and inner healing. And you know what? That place is no longer a dream. It's outside my window right now. And, well, I might cry. And so we have, God has enabled us to build. It's a 22,000 square foot facility that ultimately can house up to 12 men and 12 women and an RA or resident assistant to supervise. And we have experimented, or not experimented, but kind of trailblazed with a few students before the building was finished using temporary facilities here. And I can tell you this, that after the year that they spent with us, everybody who knows them just looks at them and says they walk different, they talk different, and they are different. And they are in leader. They've gone on already. One young man, our youngest of those trailblazers, we called them, he went back and first reconciled a terribly broken relationship with his mother, who had no relationship with Christ. And now she's finally seeing Christ in her son and interested. He went back literally immediately after our graduation ceremony here, which was in May. And the first thing he did was, on his own, using things he learned here, organized an outreach basketball tournament. This is like a 20-year-old guy.
Wow.
Raises the money for it. We taught him how to raise money for God's work. So he went and did it and put on an outreach immediately in his tribe, which is and which has very few believers in it. Then he rounded up seven local young people to come for the first time. We've never had this many from that area come to our Warrior Leadership Summit. That was just a few weeks later. Six of the seven gave their hearts to Christ, and they each decided they wanted to be baptized in the lake there at Warrior Leadership Summit. And the native pastor who did the baptizing said, I would like their leader to help baptize them. And so this young man, graduate of the Leadership Center, is out there in that lake baptizing six young people that he brought from his largely unreached tribe, and had the joy of being a part of already carrying out the Great Commission. Going to his people, baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And that was just within weeks. That was the first 4 weeks after graduating. Wow. And so it's, and I could tell you the other stories of, some are going on for additional training because they now know what their spiritual gifts are. Two of our ladies, our young ladies, know that they are now called to work with Native young women the rest of their life. And they've got tools to do it, and they want to get more tools. Another male graduate is, we needed a male RA. He was our oldest one, and he's about 26 years old, and he's back here now to be the RA for the young men that will be arriving here in a week. So this is what we meant by, if we could just complete the circle, and now we can. And so this is a launch pad right here for Native leaders. And Roger, here's the amazing thing. You know the story of the Trail of Tears, right? You've heard about the Cherokee Trail of Tears. Most Americans know about that. It was an awful thing. Marching through the one of the worst winters in American history, people dying along the way. They had full-time grave diggers traveling with them. And part of the Trail of Tears literally went through the land that that leadership center now sits on.
Wow.
And 200 years ago, a Trail of Tears went through here. 200 years later, a Trail of Hope comes here and goes from here back to the reservations in the form of trained, equipped, and discipled Native leaders. God's on the move among the first people of our land, Roger.
Well, I think that is very evident. And earlier this year, I had a phone call from our friend Carlene Prince, and she had been down to the Leadership Center. And she called me when she got back and said, "You have got to talk to Ron and his team about this." And that was what led to inviting you to join us today to share about it, because, you know, Scripture, of course, says that the Word of God is living and powerful. It can bring about change. But how you get it into the hearts of people from that special background, the Native American kids, requires some special tools. And it's amazing to see how God has given you the Leadership Center and now has it up and running and seeing that multiplication of people coming to Christ. That's just incredible, Ron.
You know, Roger, I have said for years, I've thought, how is it that there has been mission work among the first people of this land for 400 years? The first missionary in North America was in the 1630s. John Eliot came to reach the first people of the land. First Bible translation done in North America was done in the Algonquin tongue. Well, how is it that 400 years later, only 4% know Christ? Well, I think there are two things that have happened, and our enemy has had a strategy for that. One is, well, I call it the double blindness. He has blinded Native people to Jesus with a lie that Jesus is a white man's God. And he has blinded American Christians to Native Americans. And we don't even see them. We see a lot of the world out there that needs to be reached, but we look right past the first people of our land. And I really believe that what we are seeing right now is God launching a major attack against that double blindness. Because the answer to the blindness about Jesus being the white man's God is that the messengers be Native American young people who themselves embody living proof that Jesus is anything but a white man's God. He's the God who so loved the world. And they are young and they are Native and they are telling about this Jesus. And the double blindness, well, the other side of that is that he is awakening through people like you, Roger, and through your network of praise. He is opening the eyes of God's people, like me, like you, to the need that we have been blind to, we didn't know about. And now there are some of God's people beginning to know and to care, and they are investing in the young people who can go and take care of the other part of the blindness and become the messengers. So here you have a group of American Christians, like you and me and your listeners, who are stepping up and saying, we want to empower Native young men and women to go to their people. And it's going to take both those groups to kill that double blindness. And finally, after 400 years, give the first people of our land their chance of Jesus. And it's starting to happen.
Well, it's important, as it is about to happen, that we're faithful to go forward in whatever ways God directs. So as a starting point, I'd invite everyone who is listening to this time to go to hutchcraft.com and click on the Leadership Center section and read about it, because this is really an incredible thing, but it is something that takes a lot of prayer to back it up and funds to operate it. And so we would certainly encourage everyone to get on board and take a look online and see what you're doing there, because there's more to talk about than what we have time to talk about today. And we'd love to see people from our listening area get involved.
Well, thank you, Roger. And we're I would love to just you know, have time to just be an encouragement to your people, but maybe just knowing that and you know, we live in a time when it seems like a lot of our folks are feeling like it's getting darker, and you know, it's we're troubled by and rightly so by a lot that's happening around us, and we're in a very demanding, seductive culture right now that is rapidly moving away from anything that represents the image of God that we were created in. And yet, you know what? I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at a sunny day, and I can't see any stars right now. So are the stars out? Well, of course they are. But they'll turn them off to save electricity during the day. But guess what? They don't show up until the sky's really dark. And I would just say that if you're a follower of Christ, don't be focused on the darkness and shaking your head and going, oh, no. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be shining brighter than ever, because if it's night, this is when the stars really shine. This is when they really show up. Yeah. And I got just a verse of encouragement, Roger, and leave folks maybe with this. Psalm 11:3-4, a really incredible verse, a couple verses for a time like ours. It starts out by asking this question. When the foundations are being shaken, what shall the righteous do? Boy, doesn't it feel like all the foundations are shaking?
Mm-hmm.
It's like stuff that's always been there isn't there anymore. Stuff that people have always believed, they don't believe anymore. The foundation, what shall the righteous do? Here's the answer. Next verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. You're like, well, wait, is that an answer? Uh-huh. What the righteous should do is remember that the throne of God has not been shaken. His rule, his sovereignty, his writing final chapters, nothing has changed. And if you every morning wake up to praising him and elevating him in your heart and opening his word to get light for your path for that day, and you anchor every day to the word of God, the sovereignty of God, and the praises of God. You say, listen, things appear to be spinning out of control, but the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He will start it. He will finish it. And you go into your day boldly with confidence to say, I will be a light today. And when people are with me, they're going to feel safe, and they're going to feel loved, and they're going to feel elevated. They're going to feel heard and seen, and they are going to touch Jesus if they're around me. And so instead of sitting there going, oh, woe is me, you say, I got work to do.
Yeah.
And you show up every day and be the hands, the feet, the face, the voice, the heart of Jesus in somebody's life. You're on mission. You're too busy to be sitting around moaning.
Yeah, that's very true. And it is, as you said, when everything is so dark around us, that is a really opportune time to be sharing the light of God's word with people. And it is tough. We do need encouragement, but that is the truth. And in the last couple months, on two occasions, I had longtime Christian friends walk up to me and in our conversation say, I just wish the rapture would happen. And I thought, well, you know, we're looking forward to that day and anxious for that day to happen. But not long ago, I saw a list on Dr. David Jeremiah's website, and it said what to do until Christ returns. And it listed 10 things. And I thought, well, I wish I'd had that handy when those people made those statements to me. And so before today, I emailed that list to you and the other people who'll be joining us during this Day of Hope.
Yeah.
And and said, would you take a look at that and see if there's one or two things on that top 10 list that really stand out for this day and age?
Well, boy, they're all good. But I'll tell you what, the one, yeah, this will not surprise you, where it says reach the lost. I'm thinking, If Christ is going to return soon, I want to get people. There's people who aren't ready for that, who that would be the worst possible thing that could happen for Jesus to come back. It would mean their chances at heaven are over. And Ephesians 5:16 says, buy up the time, buy up the opportunities, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So rather than just looking to the eastern sky and saying, come on, Jesus, come on, which is, I feel that same way. Jesus said to his disciples, lift up your eyes and look, and you will see a harvest coming. It's all around you. And we're surrounded by people. I mean, we wouldn't want to have one day without a Savior. Yeah. We got people who've never had a day with him. All around us. So reaching the lost, getting people ready for his return. But then I also saw on this list, relate to one another in love. And you know what? If you look on social media and you listen to a lot of believers, we've become so tribalized politically and denominationally, and we are just we have allowed ourselves to become part of a divided, angry culture. And boy, to Jesus said, they'll know you are Christians and they'll know I'm real because they will see your love. And I think it's that relate to one another in love is another really, really key one, because there ain't a whole lot of love and there aren't very many people who make other people feel safe. We are making so many people enemies because they disagree with us on things that will not matter for one iota in eternity. And so if we are loving, if we care about love and we care about the lost, those two really jump out on that list.
Yeah, those are excellent ones. And, you know, Ron, we invited you on today for two reasons. One is to talk about the Leadership Center and On Eagle's Wings, so our listeners would have a chance to hear more about what God is doing there. But then the other is just that we appreciate that you have that ability to look past the problems and see the bigger picture. And I think both those points are really important. So we appreciate your time today, and we again want to invite listeners to go to hutchcraft.com to read more about the work that you're doing among Native Americans and to see if there's a way they can get involved. And then I want to just kind of mention briefly that next month we're going to be making a special announcement, because it's fine to have an interview with you, but we have to do more. And so we're going to be talking with you and your team more, and next month we'll be sharing what those discussions are leading to with our YNOP listeners.
And Roger, I just need to share, I want to invite your people. You didn't ask for this, but I want to invite my brother or sister who's listening right now. You know that this 24 hours a day, this is a lighthouse. This place, this station you listen to has been a source of hope to you through a pandemic, through all kinds of upheaval, through all the uncertainty that has entered our world. You can turn on this station and you know what you're going to hear. And you know you're going to hear hope. And you know that this station is giving people all around us a chance at Jesus. And how many times have you had a touch from Jesus because you turned on this station? And I just want to encourage you to complete the circle right now and come back around during share. And Roger didn't ask for this, didn't mention it at all, but these guys are the real deal. And I deal with radio stations all over this country, but there are few people and few networks, few stations that are more lined up with the passions of our Savior's heart and in tune with the times and selfless about their own needs, then this station, they're really worthy of your support. And I pray that you will call or do whatever you have to do to take their financial needs off their list of things they need to be concerned about so they can be totally about the mission of Christ. Your gift will enable them to focus all year long on changing lives and spreading hope. Be part of that.
Well, that is what we want to do, especially in these days that we live in. We want to be a source of hope and of the truth of the gospel, and to let everyone know that they are invited. And Ron, we so appreciate your commitment, especially to the Native American people. We just are inspired by that and always glad to have you on the air with us. So we appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate you, friend.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.